We will have Mark Sawyer. He's representing the San Diego Immunization Partnership, and his title of his presentation is up on the screen now.
Thank you, Tony. The title of my presentation is "You Want Me to Sign What?" And this is, I'm going to summarize for you our experience in San Diego with a consortium of hospitals and their experience with declination statements from a period when they were voluntary to a period when they were required by state law in California. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors from the San Diego Immunization Branch of the Public Health Department and my colleagues also from UCSD. My objectives are to describe the efforts among these hospitals to obtain declination statements from healthcare workers when they refuse influenza immunization, describe the impact of our state law, which went into effect this past year, and list some elements of the hospital-based influenza declination statements that are used across these different hospitals. This came out of a larger project that we've been doing over the past several years in San Diego, focused on trying to increase healthcare worker influenza immunization, initially funded by CDC, but we have continued this collaboration after the funding expired. We have 17 hospitals, which is the majority of hospitals in San Diego County, who are collaborators, as well as the other groups listed here, our local immunization coalition, our hospital association, and our local San Diego County Medical Association. And we call this consortium the San Diego Hospital Influenza Immunization Partnership, or SDHIP. This is a listing of the hospitals. The names won't mean much to you who are not from Southern California, but I'll just briefly describe the characteristics of some of these hospitals. The first one's pretty self-explanatory. It's a freestanding children's hospital. We've included Kaiser Permanente, which in Southern California is a big provider of health care and a system that more or less has control over what their employees will and won't do. The Navy Medical Center, and it's probably no surprise to you that compliance with influenza vaccine amongst enlisted Navy healthcare workers is 100%, and among non-enlisted civilian personnel is right where it is for the rest of us. The rest of these hospitals are a mixture of small private hospitals, a university-based medical center, and two large hospital systems, the Scripps system and the Sharp system, each of which operate multiple hospitals. These are mixed adult and pediatric hospitals in some cases and adult-only hospitals in others. Collectively, these hospitals count for about 75% of the inpatient beds in San Diego County. During the early part of this project, we rediscovered that the problem with healthcare workers and influenza immunization is the same that we face with the general community, and that is they hold these myths, which you're all very familiar with, and I'm not going to go through them specifically, although the last one on the list is only recently come on the horizon, that is the issue of whether healthcare workers should or should not receive the nasal influenza vaccine because of concern about spread to their patients. We have been trying to promote the use of nasal live attenuated influenza vaccine amongst healthcare workers because among the things, in addition to these myths that healthcare workers hold, is there's a subset of them who are afraid of needles. And we were hoping that the live attenuated vaccine would solve that problem. It has partially solved that problem, but not as much as we had hoped. So in California, the state legislature passed a bill called Senate Bill 739, which went into effect July 1st, 2007, which states that annually inpatient hospital facilities in California must offer on-site influenza vaccination to all their employees at no cost. Most of them were already doing that prior to the development of this legislation. But in addition, they will require employees who do choose not to be vaccinated to sign a declination statement. As a result of this legislation, all of the hospitals that did implement declination statements for the 2007 to 2008 season, some had already started in the year before that in anticipation of this law, so we have some experience over a few years in this consortium of hospitals. There are a variety of different statements that are being used. Each hospital crafted their own, although as part of the partnership, we worked together to come up with some common language that made sense to us to be in most of them. There are incomplete tracking systems for compliance with this in most of the hospitals, although that is part of the law, is that they have to be prepared to report their compliance both with influenza vaccination and with use of declination statements. And unfortunately, at this point, none of our hospitals use our local immunization registry to track their healthcare worker immunizations. As part of the whole effort and stemming from our partnership, there's a significant effort in education of healthcare providers about influenza immunization, and many hospitals now require such education as part of the declination statement process. If someone is going to decline vaccination, they have to also go through a training. Some of those are PowerPoint based, some are online, and some of those also include the declination statement at the end of the training process. This is one example of a form that was developed by our coalition, by our partnership. It serves both as a declination statement and a tracking form for those who do choose to receive vaccination. So the top part includes sections to record lot number and administration data for those who receive their immunization. And then the center part here is where the declination statement, and this particular form has a very simple one. It simply says, by signing, I acknowledge that I have been offered this vaccine and been informed of its benefits and chosen to decline vaccination. Some of our hospitals chose to use stronger language, things on the order of, I realize that I'm putting my patients at risk by not receiving an influenza vaccination. But we chose for this particular form to use sort of the more benign language that many other hospitals have also used. And the bottom of this form has screening information to avoid inappropriate use of immunization for those who have contraindications. All of this is occurring in this background of healthcare worker immunization coverage rates. This data comes from random digit dialing telephone survey of San Diego County residents. We kept dialing the phone until we found a healthcare worker, and then separated those into hospital-based healthcare workers, which is the focus of the partnership and the declination statement process, and non-hospital-based workers. So as you can see, overall, our healthcare worker immunization rates are in the high 50% range. For the hospital-based workers, they're closer to 70%. And during the time of this SD-HIP partnership, we've seen a modest increase in coverage rates up to just over 75% in this most recent year of data, 2008. This is from that random digit dialing telephone survey, the compliance with declination statements. The first year, as you can see, had relatively low compliance, 23%. The second year up to 51%. This is, again, based on the random digit dialing survey. When you ask the hospitals about this, they say they have 100% compliance or something close to that. So there's some discrepancy, and some of that may be inaccurate tracking of all of their employees, and some of it may be the limitations of the random digit dialing survey and what people choose to report in that process. But I think it's fair to say that we probably have less than the 100% compliance that the legislation has requested. There are some non-hospital-based programs that have also implemented declination statements as a spin-off of this in California, even though that is not part of the legislation. One of the questions we asked was whether the healthcare workers were concerned that they would suffer repercussions if they chose to not sign a declination statement. In other words, were there significant consequences for not complying with the law? And most of the people in the survey felt that they would not suffer significant consequences. And in fact, most of the hospitals, although they have some policies in place about what they would do to people who don't comply, they have been fairly relaxed about enforcing those. This slide demonstrates knowledge about the declination statement law amongst all healthcare workers in the left-hand column and then the center column, the hospital-based. As you can see, most of the healthcare providers are aware of the law, and this looks at percent up-to-date with influenza vaccination, comparing those who were familiar with the law versus those who were not, and there is some slight difference there, indicating that by at least by this measure, the declination process may be having some impact on compliance with influenza vaccination. I mentioned the variety of policies that some of the hospitals have for either unimmunized or non-compliant, meaning people who choose not only to be unimmunized but also don't sign a declination statement. So some of the hospitals have no policy to deal with them. Others, one of our hospitals is, at least based on their policy, is going to require healthcare workers to wear a mask during the influenza season, during the entire shift, if they are unimmunized. Another hospital will take unimmunized employees and place them on administrative leave during the influenza season. And in the most dramatic example of an enforcement policy is that non-compliant employees, that is those who would not sign a declination statement, would be terminated. Now, as far as we can tell, none of those things have happened in any of our hospitals. So the policies are there, but they've yet to be enforced, perhaps because this whole process is relatively new in California. Obviously, the million-dollar question is, do declination statements make a difference? And I think our data is not able to really address that question. Based on interviews with the various occupational health and infection control folks who are going through this in their individual hospitals, some feel that they clearly have made an impact on their participation. Most of that is based on people who for years had not received a vaccine and faced with the declination statement process decided to be immunized. But we don't really have any solid data on that other than as the data I've already showed you that we have seen an increase overall in healthcare worker immunizations and that knowledge of the declination statement law did correlate with increased coverage. So in conclusion, at least in our program in California, despite a law that requires declination statements, we have something significantly below 100% compliance with that process. Vast majority of employees are willing to sign declinations, although there is a subset who refuse to do so. Knowledge of the declination statement was associated with greater likelihood of immunization. And there are highly variable policies and highly variable enforcement of those policies amongst our hospitals for employees who refuse to sign declinations or remain unimmunized. And further acknowledgments of my co-authors and our leadership at the Public Health Department. Thanks very much.